Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney. This is Reverend Edward Pinckney Hour. I'm the first pastor in the history of mankind to be ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. Hey, do I have a story to tell? We're always talking about Whirlpool and how they do things, but I got one for you. Whirlpool, a company who's about to have a strip club come to the city of Benton Harbor to go along with a Harbor Shores signature golf course. But before I get into that, let me give you a little history about how all this came about, the hostile takeover of the city of Benton Harbor. I just want to tell you the story, but we also, before we get to that, I want to remind people that we are still boycotting all of Whirlpool and Maytag products. I mean, we've been doing sensational, and I just want people and thank everybody who have taken part in this boycott of Whirlpool. But I'd like to tell you this. Before I get started about that, I want to tell you also that this is a time where we all can come together and help each other. We have to figure out a way to help each other. If you're in trouble or you need help, we should all come together. Because if you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. And I want people to understand that we got to be here for each other. But let me tell you my story. See, my story started back in 2000 when I was court watching. I would sit inside the courtroom. I would sit there from 8:30 in the morning until 11:30. And from 1:30 to 4:30 every single day. I did it from 2000 up until 2007, because I wanted to know why so many African Americans was being sent to prison. I could not figure that out. I mean, people was getting time like it was going out of style. And I knew that we had to do something. We had to do something to make things happen there. And this is what we did. We started court watching. I mean, it sounds like something that the average person would never want to do, because everybody is so fearful of the court system. But we did it anyway. We formed an organization called BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization. And we set up watch crews where we was able to monitor every single courtroom inside Barron County Courthouse. See, nobody would believe that Barron County was this corrupt. I mean, if I sit here and told you about it, you would say, no, that could not be. He's exaggerating. Nobody could be that bad. But any time you're dealing with a system that's controlled by a company, a corporation like Whirlpool, then you can get this. My job is to tell you and to let you know that there are things that we need to do. There are things that we can do to stop some of this stuff, not only in Barron County, but also in your city. Because we must work as a team. We must get all the numbers we can. We must have the numbers in order to be successful. But that's important. Anyway, during the process of court watching, we discovered that some of the judges over there had a financial interest in things that was going on in the city of Benton Harbor. We had one judge, Judge Alfred Buzlaw. He wasn't a judge at the time, but he was over this real estate company and a law firm. And what they would do, they would go and come in, and we had a Cornerstone Alliance. Cornerstone Alliance, where they did work for them. And Cornerstone is just a small part of Whirlpool. Normally, if you work for Cornerstone Alliance, you work for Whirlpool. You work for Whirlpool, most of the time you're trying to take over the city of Benton Harbor. So we had to figure out a way how we was going to do this. Oh, it was a beautiful situation because we did the things that needed to be done. And I want to tell you, I was excited about this. This is one of the most exciting things that you can ever get involved in when you're trying to help other people. When you move yourself out the way and think about other people other than yourself. See, we have to learn to step to the plate. We have to learn to step to the plate and say that it's not about us. You see, when we learn to say it's not about us, then we can be successful against a corporation like Whirlpool. But anyway, let me go on. Now, Whirlpool was doing their thing. They were slowly but surely taking over the city of Benton Harbor, driving all the African-American out. It started in the year 2000, but it actually started before then, but 2000 where it became more noticeable. So we had to do something in order to get. When I was telling people exactly what Whirlpool was about to do, nobody believed it. They said no company could be that rotten. No company can be that deceitful. No company would want to go out of their way and destroy a whole community. But they was wrong. Whirlpool's intention was to destroy the city of Benton Harbor and its residents and to drive them completely out. They didn't care where they went. They care less where they go. They didn't care anything about them. They want to drive them completely out of the community. They want to do things that were unheard of. But we the people, we have to take a stand against companies like Whirlpool. Never before in the history of mankind have you ever witnessed something like Whirlpool was doing. They was getting land free, taking land like gangsters would do. But anyhow, let me move on because we only have an hour. And I want to give you enough information so you can tune in next week for part two of this. Because this is going to get good. So now, Whirlpool, knowing that they was going to take over the city of Benton Harbor. You see, and here's something that most people don't know. We have 8 African American commissioners and 1 black mayor. Any time that they wanted to stop this from happening, they had the power to do it. But Whirlpool went after them. They was driving these people. They was taking away from the people that live inside the city of Benton Harbor, and they was doing it with these commissioners. Every time, and the only way that they can get land, you have to have 6 votes. They cannot get land unless they have 6 votes. So here's the deal. We knew that they was about to take over the city of Benton Harbor, and the only way we knew how to stop them was do a recall on the power broker, Glenn Yarbrough. But they figured like this, we could never defeat Glenn Yarbrough because he was one of the big honchos there. He had one of the largest families in the city of Benton Harbor. And his job was to influence the other commissioners so they'll go along with the program. And that's what he did. So we went out and did a recall on him. Well, they figured that we could never defeat Glenn Yarbrough because we didn't have the resources. We definitely did. They figured we didn't have the manpower. They figured that we didn't have the know-how. But they was wrong. They figured that anything they did was Franco. They could out-dollar us. They could out-money us. The things they was doing was so incredible that nobody would believe the things that was happening. So what we did, we went out and had people to sign up the absentee ballot. And whether you know it or not, people out there, The absentee ballot is a secret weapon that can defeat any opponent if you do it correctly. But that's the only way that they can get you. They can go out and pay people to say that you was in possession of their absentee ballot. They can also say, find people to say that you paid them to vote. This is a weapon that Republicans use. People use these weapons to stop, to put people in fear so they won't go out and vote, so they won't organize. This is what they was doing. I mean, it was something that people, you had to see it to believe it. But nobody would believe that we would be able to defeat Whirlpool. I mean, it was something that people dreamed about, and they always thought about it because we knew that we had an opportunity to do it, and we went out of our way to do it. Because we talked to every single person that was over 60 years old who could vote absentee and who wanted to vote. They wanted to vote. We talked to everybody who was planning to be out of town. We wanted them to vote absentee. We talked to everybody who may have been a handicapped or whatever they may be, asked them to vote. And then when the end of the day was over, we had found out that we was 230 votes ahead of Whirlpool and Yarbrough. And before they knew it, we knew that we had won the election. Now they're mad. They decided that nobody could beat Whirlpool. Nobody. I don't care who you are, who you think you are. You cannot beat pool. You see, because they have all the money. They also can use can utilize manpower if they really wanted to. But they figured that we were no match for them. So when they discovered that we had beaten them, they decided that it had to be fraud. Because they were saying nobody could beat Whirlpool. But we did it, and we were more than happy. So they decided that they were going to claim voter fraud. The first thing they did, they kicked in Ben Harbor clerk off his door and pulled all the records out of there, knowing that the election was legit, so they had to come up with something. They did all they could. They went through the whole election. They could only find three votes that actually could be tainted, but it was three of their people who voted for Yarborough, but they didn't say that part. Because this was Detective Lane's mother and uncle, his family, and most likely they would not be voting for us. So we continue this fight. They went after, we won by over 54 votes, and they decided that they was going to set aside the election. Never in the history of mankind have an election ever been set aside when the majority of the votes then become the minority, and the minority became the majority. Never in the history of mankind had this ever happened. But it happened. It happened in the city of Benton Harbor. It happened because the people in Benton Harbor didn't have that fight in them no more. Because the sheriff's department was going to everybody home, kicking in their doors. We talking about an election. We're not talking about a murder. We're not talking about a robbery. We're not talking about anything. The 3 o'clock in the morning. The police officer was going to everybody's door that had voted, kicking in their door, putting them all on the ground, putting them on the floor, trying to intimidate them, scare them like they had committed a crime. And the first thing they did when they went through the door, they told them, "You may have committed a crime. I need to talk to you." The key word was that, "You may have." You see, if you're telling me I may have committed a crime, that tells me there's a strong possibility that I did. But the people, they didn't know. They were scared to death. These people went berserk. I never saw anything like this before in my life. You had to be there to understand this. This thing was so serious that these folks were scared to death. They were willing to say anything to keep them going to jail. And I tell you, the police was going through the community like gangbusters, 4 or 5 cars of them, kicking in people's doors like it was nothing. But the problem was, if they felt that I did something wrong, why didn't they come and kick in my door? Because they knew that I knew what to do, which is very, very important. See, we have to learn these things because before we can do anything, we have to understand how to fight corruption. You see, a lot of times we don't know what to do. When you talk about corruption, hey, I tell you this, is something that you better be prepared for, because if you're not prepared for it, this is what they do. But let me go on. On April the 18th, 2005, they came to my home and arrested me. They charged me with being in possession of an absentee ballot. They gave me 3 counts of being in possession of an absentee ballot, which is a 5-year felony. Each one. They charged me with trying to influence an election by paying somebody $5. Then they charged me with aiding and abetting, knowing that I didn't do it. But the point is, they don't have to convince people in this town that you're wrong. All they have to do is put it out there. Because most of the time, the people here are not smart enough to understand that they're up to no good and that Whirlpool is behind all this. You see. But anyway, they arrested me, and they put me in jail. My bond was set at $100,000, and they were so sure that I would never get out, but I promised them that I would be out within a day or two. I said, "You cannot keep me inside this jail, because I'm not going to go for it. I'm not going to handle that. I'm out of here. It's just a matter of all I want to know how much is the bond." So that kind of like scared them. Instead of them intimidating me, I was intimidating them. They put me like in a special location, but they treated me pretty good. Cause here they gave me my own TV, my own room, and they brought my food to me, like, you know. But they treated me good, and I was impressed because I had no idea that they would go to this extent to stop me. Because first of all, at that time, I was just one of those everyday citizens, just trying to do what was right. And they was doing everything in their power to stop me. They didn't care what was right. They didn't care what was wrong. All they wanted to do was stop me. But anyhow, I'm in jail. And I'm hoping today that I'm encouraging somebody that you can stand up and fight and win this thing, you see. Because remember this, I'm just a pastor of the city of Benton Harbor. That's what I am. I have no money. Only thing I have going for me, I can say my good looks, but you have to go by that. But anyhow, that's the only thing I have going for me. And yet they was afraid of me. They was afraid that they don't like for me to talk to people. They don't want me to do anything. But that didn't stop me. The very next day, I was released from jail. And when I was released, oh, you should have saw the look on their face. Nobody could believe that I could raise that type of money and get out. And they was really angry. They was upset. It was like the end of the world to them. But my point is this. You can do whatever you want to do. You have to know what you're doing. You need to take your time and analyze your position and decide how you're going to be able to help somebody else. Because you have to tell yourself it's not about you. You see, as long as you tell people it's about you, nobody is really interested. Because you want to find a way to help somebody, to encourage them to do better, to encourage them to take this thing to a whole different level. We should be connecting all around the country. There's no excuse for this. Why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to allow them to take our children? Why do we have to allow them to put us in jail? Why do we have to allow them to falsely accuse us of something like voter fraud or falsely arrest us and get away with it? Why? The reason why it happened, because we allow it to happen. We let them get away with this. We let them do whatever they want to do. Everything they do, you let them make it appear like it's okay. It's not okay. If your neighbor is in trouble, you're in trouble. Remember that. If you got a family member in trouble, you're in trouble. Stop trying to think it's just going to happen to him. Because if it happened to him or if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. I'm guaranteeing you that. But let me move on. Anyhow, I'm out on bond now. And the thing is, I'm back at the courthouse doing my court watch. Now they are really mad because I'm really throwing it up in their face. I'm really flooding it. I'm really letting them know that, hey, you don't scare me, you see. See, most of the time when people get arrested, they go hide and go and try to shield themselves. But not that. I went straight back to the courthouse. I started continuing my court watching from 8:30 to 11:30 and from 1:30 to 4:30. They were really mad. Even though my face had been on the front page of the newspaper for over 2 weeks, every single day they put my picture on the newspaper. They tried to make it out like I was some kind of Rhodes Scholar, that I was the smartest man in the whole wide world, that nobody could have beat Whirlpool. It's impossible to beat a company like Whirlpool, especially somebody from Benton Harbor. So he's the smartest man in the whole world, or, here's the catch, or he committed fraud. You can't beat Whirlpool. No matter how hard you try, you cannot beat Whirlpool. And this was what the big mystery to them. And they know what they're doing. They care less about you. You see, here's the secret. They don't care nothing about you. All they care about taking what you got. Anytime you got Whirlpool floating around here, I'm talking about a $20 billion company floating around here stealing from the from the people here, and it's a war. It's the haves against the have-nots. And you got U.S. Representative Upton. He's the heir to Whirlpool. His connection is in Washington. He's a U.S. representative. He got one of the most prestigious positions here. But yet and still, he's allowing these people, Whirlpool, to steal from the people in Benton Harbor. He won't step in. He won't say anything. Whatever happened, he just let it happen. When is the people going to take a stand? And even against Upton, we have a fighting chance. I want people to know we have a fighting chance. Don't let people tell us that we don't have a chance. We got a chance. We got a chance of beating them down. But the point is, we have to go out of our way and do things. I mean, it's important that people understand that you can beat anybody you want as long as you get the numbers. We need numbers to beat a company like Whirlpool. And right now, I'm appealing to the people to come forward. When you have a problem, we can go all the way across the country. We can connect. I mean, cities like West Virginia. We're talking about cities like Tennessee. We're talking about all these cities. All we have to do is connect. We got a common goal, whether we like it or not. We want justice. And that's our goal. And that's what we should be standing up for. We don't need to stand up for anything else. But anyhow, let me get back to where we're going with this now. Here I am. Continues the court watch. But now we're marching again. We marched. We had these signs and we had these T-shirts. We came up with these T-shirts. Now, the T-shirts is so important because, for one thing, it showed them that we cared less about them, that we was not afraid of them. We put their names on the T-shirts. They called Benton Harbor Most Wanted for Crimes Against Humanity. And we started off with all the judges. And the prosecutor, we had Prosecutor James Sherry, Jim Crow Sherry. We had Dennis Wiley, Scott Schofield. We had John Hammond. We had John Fields and Paul Maloney. And Paul Maloney is the one who set the election aside. So we was right on point with what we were trying to do. We were trying to show people that there was a problem inside the justice system. Oh, a lot of people didn't quite understand that, but we want to show them that we had a problem, a major problem. And what we want to do, we want to stay focused and keep doing what we're doing. And we want to show them that we can do it. See, any time that you show them that you're afraid of them, then they will pounce on you. So we want to show them that we're not afraid and shoot your best shot. If you got something that you want to do to me, do it. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Just do it and see how I act. Because one of the things that's so important that people have to understand is that when they see that you have fear in your heart, they're coming after you. And we have to show them that we're not afraid. And that's in every single state across the country. We have to rise up and fight these demons. That's all they are. They're demonic. And we have to stand up and show these people what we can do. And don't be afraid to take a stand. When you're not afraid to take a stand, you can accomplish a lot. I tell you, that's tremendous. But anyhow, now they see that I'm not afraid. What they're trying to do now is figure out a way to shake me. So I goes into the courtroom on a hearing to have all charges dismissed. We know that. You know, these are drummed up charges. We know that, you know, it's the detective was out trying to force people to do things. We know this. So we're just staying focused and trying to do what we do. But I tell you, this is really something that needs to be done. I'm excited about this. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. I'm telling you this. Yes, I'm telling you this. And we can do some things. We can do some things. And I tell you this one thing. I tell you, I'm feeling so good about this. And even the show. This is my very first show on Blog Talk, and I'm excited because I want to spread the word. I want to show people how we can connect. And I'm not afraid to go beyond the call of duty. And we're on point what we're trying to accomplish here. So anyhow, what they're trying to do now, they see me out marching with my signs. Maybe we have maybe about 40 people. Not a whole lot of people, but more than enough, because all you need is three or four. We had about 40 people marching every single day and court watch. Now, this was enough to scare them. They could not believe that we could come up with 40 people who were willing to march, whether it was too hot, whether it was 90 degrees, whether it was 95 degrees, whether it was 100 degrees, or whether it was 20 below zero. Every single day we marched. We didn't care whether it was rain, sleet, or snow, we was there, and we was consistent. See, anytime you're dealing with people like this, the most important thing you can do is be consistent. If you can show them that you're doing what you're doing, that you're on top of what you're doing, you can beat them down, you see. But that's the most important thing. We march, we march, we march, we court watch, we court watch, we court watch. We did it, and we did it with the intention of showing them that we're not afraid of them. You see, anytime they think that you're afraid, that's when they attack. So now they are really mad. Here we go. 2005 December. They want to have the trial right away. They want to say, well, we want to have the trial right away and convict this man and send him to prison, because the only intention was to send me to prison. But prison don't scare me. You see, that was the difference here. Prison do not scare me. So whatever they wanted to do, I didn't really care. So now, my attorney files a motion to have all charges dropped. And his motion was based on, you have no credible evidence. They went out and got every drug addict, every prostitute, everybody who voted, and forced them to lie for them. They paid them. They did everything you could think of to get them to come in and lie. Oh, and they was happy to do it. Because anytime you offer a person down here money, they're going to want to do it. But it gets better. Now, here we go. We're getting ready to court. They don't really have enough evidence. So now they can't really bond me over for trial. So they wait another couple of months, and they go out and get this young man by the name of Tommy Travis. Now, this is, you got to hear this, folks. You got to hear this and understand this. Now, Tommy Travis decided that if they paid him the $500, they promised him $500 to make a tape and claim that I paid him to vote. Tommy Travis goes in and make the tape. And at the very end of the tape, Detective Danifield tells him, well, he asks Danifield, are you still going to pay me for making that tape, that lying tape? And at the end of the tape, Detective Danifield said, yes, I am still going to pay you. But the problem was, here's the problem. They only paid him $5 instead of the $500. When they paid him the $5, he was mad. They took him to jail. They took him to jail, and now he's mad. Now we're getting ready to go to trial. We go to trial. Tommy Travis tells the judge, he's a witness for the prosecutor, that they paid him to make a tape that wasn't true. He said, the judge asked him, well, we asked him, how much did he pay you? And we said, they paid you $5. He said, well, they were supposed to pay me $500, but he only paid me $5. The judge didn't do nothing. Buzzball listened to this and did nothing, knowing that this guy had broke the law. Even if this guy had paid him a dime, he would have been, he had broken the law. You cannot pay a person to come in and testify, whether it was a truth or a lie. But the point was, they knew that this guy was lying. They didn't care. Only thing they cared about was getting me. They figured they would pay him the $500 if he came in and lied and if it convicted me. But unfortunately, they only paid the young man $5. Oh, it gets better. Then this guy, Yarbrough, he goes around to get this thing started. He pays this guy named Mansell Williams. He pay him $10 and some crack cocaine to say that I paid him to vote. Now, he goes in, he tells the city, the mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, that he was paid by Glenn Yarbrough to come in and lie on Reverend Pinckney. And the mayor looked at him, made a tape of it, sent it to the prosecutor office, and the prosecutor didn't want to hear. Oh, but it gets better. Anyhow, Whirlpool is sitting behind us now. They're all happy because now they're working on getting their 6 votes, and they have restored Yarbrough back to his seat. And here I am about to go to trial. I'm about to go to trial for a crime that never was committed, a crime that was created by a group of evil men, a crime that no man in their right mind could understand. But I'm telling you this one thing. This thing is so, they were so out of touch. But the bottom line, they had met their match with me, a man with no money. Think if I had money. Think what I could do if I had money. I could challenge Whirlpool on a level they never been challenged before. But anyhow, I'm in the process now of going to trial. They got all their witnesses lined up, all of them being paid something. Every single witness they had was paid. They didn't have a witness who was not paid. Every single witness they had was paid something. One girl had did a drive-by shooting. Oh, yeah, the Williams sisters. Y'all might know, you may have heard of doing the crowd. The Williams sisters had did a drive-by shooting, almost killed 4 or 5 people, and they gave her probation only if she testified against Pinckney. Oh, you see, that's how bad they wanted me. They wanted me so bad that nobody could believe this. And we couldn't even get in that the sisters had just did a drive-by shooting, and they was given something. Oh, when we mentioned that, the judge, Buzzball, went berserk. He was ready to throw folks in jail, especially my lawyers. But it gets better. It gets better than that. Because now, everything seems to be going up in their face. Whirlpool is mad now. They figure if they don't convict me, then I'm going to stop this billion-dollar Harbor Shores project, the takeover of the city of Benton Harbor. They figured that Reverend Pinckney was the only person in the city of Benton Harbor knew how to stop them with no money. Now, that's the most incredible part. The only thing they said, that Reverend Pinckney knew how to stop them with no money. How do you stop a $20 billion company with no money? Somebody have to call in and tell me that one, because I don't get it. I don't know it. I don't even understand it. But I'm telling you this, this is something. But anyhow, it was so good, so exciting, that now I had them just where I want them. And we're getting ready to go to trial. They used these witnesses that nobody would ever dream of using, but they knew that the trial was rigged. But they didn't know that I have come to fight. I'm the type of guy who look forward to things like that. See, things like this excites me. You see, a lot of times people be saying, how could something like that excite you? It excites me because I know the truth. When you know the truth, you can defeat anybody. That's what you need to know. And that's why I keep telling people all across the country, the only way we can connect, we have to stand on the truth. If we stand on the truth, we can defeat these demons. But we have to stand on the truth. Oh, I thank God for this, because He has given me the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to deal with corruption on this level. I tell you, it's a blessing. But anyway, I go to trial. My attorney was Tad Parrish at that time. Charged me a lot of money. Money I didn't have. But unfortunately, I had to have it, because if I didn't have it, he wouldn't go to trial. But we went to trial. He did a magnificent job. I mean, we whooped him left and right. We made him look sick. It was so bad that, you know, everybody was saying, this is too ridiculous. Every witness they put on stand, we ate up. I mean, it was like a mad attack. You know, nobody could be beaten up this bad and these jurors believe it. But anyhow, we get down to the end of the trial. My attorney turns and points to Detective Danifel, and he tells him, "You had the audacity to pay Tommy Travis $5 to make a phony tape. Do you know that you're breaking the law?" And everybody is listening. The whole courtroom is quiet because we want to see what the judge going to say. But then again, Danifel is on his side, and Buzzball is on his side. See, corruption, when anytime you're dealing with corruption, it got to be a chain event. You know, one if you find one honest person in that whole group, it could stop the corruption. All you need is one with authority. If you find, if you run across an honest judge, someone who's willing to stand up for what's right, you can stop a lot of corruption. The reason they get away with corruption is simple. They all work together. Anytime you find a prosecutor, you find most of the time a defense attorney and a judge all working together, you call that a chain of corruption with no broken links. And it happens every single day across the country. I mean, the way they do things is incredible. But the problem is we let them get away with it. We allow them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. But yet, we want to stand up and fight. You can't fight when something has already happened or you wait for something. You got to stand up and fight before something happens. You got to get yourself a lined up. You got to have your ducks in a row. Because remember this, you have to fight as a team. Don't stand up and fight and after something that happened to you, then it's too late. But anyway, we goes on to tell this story because I tell you, I never in my life dreamed that we was going to lose this case. I mean, I figured like that even the worst thing that could possibly have happened would be a hung jury. The first trial came back. We had two African Americans and 10 whites on the jury. It came back 10-2. The 10 whites voted to convict me. I don't know what trial they were looking at. I don't know what evidence they was looking at. I mean, it was almost ridiculous. Nobody would believe. If they had to choose between life and death, it's obvious they probably would choose death because there's no way possible that they could have even thought that I was guilty. Because in my eyesight, I know for a fact that they was lying. But the point was, they always vote along the lines here. And to even make it even better, we go to the next trial. The next trial, we had 12 whites and not a single black, which it was worse than the first trial. We beat up on them so bad, that it was nasty. I mean, nobody could. Matter of fact, we were so sure we won this, one of my lawyers flew to Washington rather than stay around and hit a verdict because he was already convinced there wasn't a jury in this country who could have found me guilty. Not one single juror should have said I was guilty. But unfortunately, 12 said I was guilty. Nobody. Matter of fact, I was so shocked I didn't know what to do. I could not believe what had happened. Now, it gets better. Now, I goes home. I couldn't hardly believe it. It hadn't hit me yet that they found me guilty because I'm still thinking they're going to find me innocent. I'll go back tomorrow, and they said, well, that was just a joke. But unfortunately, they said, you're guilty. You're guilty of 4 felonies and a misdemeanor charge. Oh, man, my head was just spinning because I could not believe it. But then I said this. I said, well, they got to shoot their best shot. Give me what you're going to give me. Then I'll fight with y'all. So instead of sending me to prison, which they couldn't really do, not by the guidelines, but they could have if they really want to be nasty. I went on. I went home. They gave me 5 years probation, and that which was outrageous. But unfortunately, that's what you got. What they got, you got to do it until you can get it reversed. So now they're giving me probation, and I'm under house arrest. here we go. We applied for a new trial. They decided in October, this is the same buzzball, which I kind of expected that he was going to deny because he don't want the world to know that he was involved in a conspiracy. He didn't want the world to know this. He was involved in a heavy conspiracy to send me to prison. But yet still, he figured it would be just a matter of time. But anyhow, I write an article for the People Tribune, a small newspaper in the city of Chicago. It's, you know, I'm hammering this judge because I know him and the prosecutor was a tag team. I hammers him. I calls him corrupt, calls him a racist, tell him that he had violated his oath of office. I really put it on him. I put it on like he never had it before. Because most of the time, most black folks, when they find them guilty, they just go in and accept whatever they give you. But I can't accept what they give me, especially if it's not right. If it was right, then it would have been okay. But unfortunately, this was not right. So I decided that I was going to do something different. I was going to hang in there and continue to deal with this. And sure enough, you know, I get arrested. Probation Officer Jim Pozinski, two Barron County detectives come to my home and tell me, well, I had just left his office that morning. That morning when I left his office, paid him a few dollars, paid a little money there. I come home, and he tells me, now here's the deal. He comes to my home and says he has a warrant for my arrest for probation violation. And I'm trying to figure out how did I violate my probation. He said that you wrote an article that demeaned the judge. I said, well, it's protected speech. Under the First Amendment, you can write an article. I said, you know that. So I called my attorney. He said, and during the process before, they want to take my computer. Now, the computer belongs to my wife. So I decided I wasn't going to give them my computer. But then my lawyer said, no, I'll give it to them because they're looking for you to do something. And that's how they would do it. So I gave them the computer. With that, they didn't have a warrant now to take the computer. But I gave them that computer. I gave them the computer. They took it in. 2 weeks later, they come by the cell and issue me a warrant for the computer, which was ridiculous. So we'll get to that part soon. That part is coming up. But the story gets so good now. But the thing is, I only want to encourage people to stand up and fight for what's right. I don't want people sitting around here thinking that they can't do anything. You can do anything you want, but you need the numbers. We have to have numbers to fight these folks. They know they corrupt. You know they corrupt, but what you going to do about it? How are you going to stand up and fight these folks depends on you. You have to take this thing to a whole different level. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get out there, stand up and fight for your children and your children's children. Don't let these people continue to punish you. When they're punishing you, they're punishing your children. You see, this is what they've been doing for years, and we've been allowing them to get away with this. But anyhow, I go in there, I go to court, I have on my T-shirt, Benton Harbor Most Wanted. I go into court with Judge Wiley, see my T-shirt. He goes berserk because his name is right on the T-shirt. Dennis the Devil Wiley. He has a fit. Take off that T-shirt. Take that T-shirt off. I'm ignoring him because I'm not taking my T-shirt off. Take that T-shirt off. Take it off. I just ignored him. So he said, get out of here because he saw I wasn't going to take it out. So they took me on to jail. He said, man, you made that judge mad. I said, no. He made himself mad because, first of all, I'm not taking my T-shirt off because he told me to. He don't have that authority. So anyhow, now I'm sitting in jail waiting for a hearing. Figure they'd give me a bond because, after all, it's only an article, nothing really serious. Now they tell me that the article is a threat. Judge Buzzball said it's a Deuteronomy 28 is a threat on his life. I'm shocked. I could not believe. I'm looking at this. I cannot believe that somebody could be that stupid and naive that somebody's going to believe that that is a threat to somebody's life. It's impossible. Nobody in their right mind would believe that that is a threat on their life. But anyhow, they charged me with threatening a judge's life with a with an article in the newspaper and also threatening his family. I mean, who would believe this? I mean, what kind of nut would believe that a newspaper article would be a threat on somebody's life? I mean, let's get real about this. This guy going around telling people that Reverend Pinckney quoted a scripture from Deuteronomy 28 and it threatened him and his family life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, they said it threatened his life. But what I'm going to do there, I'm going to stop right there and open the lines, and I'm going to continue this story next week because it gets better. It gets better. Well, I'm going to call my first caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hi, Reverend Pinckney. How are you doing? That's an interesting story. I'm sure people are really liking hearing about it. And what'd you do, threaten that judge with paper cuts? Come on.
Well, the judge claimed that Deuteronomy 28 was a threat on him and his family life, and he was scared to death. Matter of fact, he was so scared, he recused himself from hearing the case. I mean, I am shocked to hear that you can threaten somebody in a newspaper with somebody going to read. And the guy claimed it was a threat on their life. Never in the history of mankind could anybody even consider this quote a threat on their life. But it depends on where you at and what you're doing. People have been for years. I mean, this is one of the things I say, Sister Charity, that most people don't understand. A lot of times we let these guys get away with this because we don't do anything. Anytime that you sit around and don't do nothing, this stuff like this can happen. And most of the time, you don't have the resources to fight them. It was a miracle for me. I tell you, I had folks coming out of the woodwork wanting to defend me. I had people, so many people, was calling my lawyers who always had the case already, wanting to come in and defend me. I didn't have the money. It wasn't me. It had to be God. I mean.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to understand that. And what I want to do today, I just want to encourage people. I want to let them know that there's things that there's always a way. All we have to do is stand up together and stop trying to separate ourselves with race, you know, and stuff like that. We have to stop that. That's the weapon they use against us. Anytime that they have anytime we be fighting with each other, that means they don't have to fight. So that's really what I'm talking about. Any time that we allow them to get away with it, we get what we deserve. But it's time for everybody to stand up and take a stand. I tell you something, Sister Charity. This thing is so amazing that I get excited myself. And I know how my wife feels. She always say, "Well, what's your plan?" I see you. Oh, Nancy just calls you. Sorry, I just located you. Peace and blessing room. Hey, all right. God bless you. But anyhow, it's a blessing just to be able to get away with things and do things. Because I tell you, I wish that everybody, Sister, I wish there was more people like you. I mean, you encourage me. I like to see women stand up and fight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that these judges are not liking the sister's soapbox when we gave them those awards.
Absolutely, and the award that you gave them, it was so wonderful. And, you know, this attorney from St. Joe, he was talking about the award that was given out because it circulated all over the courthouse.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
That fax I sent got all around the courthouse?
All around the courthouse.
Ooh, my.
And he knew it, and the first thing he said, "I know you had something to do with this, you know." And like I said, well, I have to be honest with you. I also voted to give him that award. And he just laughed, you know, he said, because that's funny to him. But yet still, he's still one of them. But he, you know, he likes, you know, sometimes they like stuff like that because he can't go against them for any reason. You see what I'm saying? He can't go against them for any reason in this world because they'll put him out of business.
Well, you know, Reverend P, something just occurred to me. I didn't get a chance to tell you before because we have been very busy, twixt two of us, doing some awful things like actually using our freedom of speech. But the other day I was in town and we were at a furniture and appliance store.
Uh-huh.
And they happened to sell Whirlpool products there. And I don't know that you told if you told your listeners yet or not because I was having some computer issues and had to call in with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a boycott on the Whirlpool products because of what they're doing in Benton Harbor.
Yes.
Well, my sweet little boy, who's 3 and a half, we were there around nap time. He was getting restless. And Daddy was off looking at some stuff, and he started having his little tantrum in his stroller.
Okay.
So we just used that to our advantage, and we walked around all the Whirlpool products, running customers off away from them. And we actually chased a few customers out of that store and stopped them from buying Whirlpool products that day.
Yeah, yeah.
A 3 and a half-year-old helped you out with that boycott.
See, that's the thing that makes this thing so wonderful. Because, see, when people tell me them stories like that, it gets me excited. Because we have to show Whirlpool, and here's the good news that this is Whirlpool is down 33% right now. As a matter of fact, they got a minus B rating. You see, and they just one step from being junk stock. One step. All it takes is just one good. We have one good month when nobody buys their product, and here's the deal: they're supposed to be laying off 1,100 people. Oh yeah. So you know, it may not seem like it's working, but trust me, we are on the move here. We are doing things that never been done before because Whirlpool, at one time, I read an article where they're one of the finest companies in the whole country. Now they got a minus B rating. They're not worth a nickel. They're just one step from being junk stock.
Well, then let me make this suggestion to your listeners, my dear.
Okay.
If you have youngins available to you, whether they be your grandchildren or your children, and you got a store nearby selling Whirlpool products and won't listen and take them out of their store, just start picking out different random days. Go in there for a few hours with your kid hyper.
with the kid hyper, huh?
Get him hyper, get him cranky, wake him up from a nap early.
Uh-huh.
And put him in a stroller and walk him around, let him just go crazy in the Whirlpool section.
Oh, it's
off the customers.
That's it. That's it. That's all you need to do.
That's right. Put this business to work.
That's it. Tell him, see, matter of fact, I might give him a job just doing that. That's your job, to go in there and chase off every single Whirlpool customer. And
be creative.
Yeah.
You don't have to have money to do that.
Absolutely. And you see, this is a lot of things that people don't understand. It don't take a whole lot of money to fight these corporations, but if you have money, it's a blessing. The thing is that what we have to do, we have to get the numbers. We have to show people that we're able to do things. Too many times we go out here and we say, well, we don't have the money to do that. Well, I didn't have the money to fight Whirlpool in Barron County Courthouse, but it worked out better for me than it is for them. Because I tell you, I got them just where I want them. If you ever seen one man got a rope around a whole county, Upton, Whirlpool neck right now. And all I have to do is just keep yanking. Because I tell you, I'm in a position now that I'm in control. And they know it. Because I don't mind being under house arrest. I tell you this like it is. I don't care. I don't never go outside. It ain't that important to me. My thing is to show people, encourage people to stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for your children, because your children may not get this opportunity.
Absolutely.
So, mm-hmm.
And don't be scared if they try to intimidate you. You see, the one thing they try to do is to try to silence our voices. That's the first thing they go after.
Oh, absolutely.
People need to remember that's an abridgment of the First Amendment. And if they start, and if they try it, then you need to tell someone. You need to tell a talk show host so they can expose them nationwide or even internationally.
Oh, absolutely.
Reverend P, you can call me anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of us.
Yeah.
We'll expose them.
That's right. We sure, you know. And it's a blessing. And the thing is, I mean, being on this Block Talk Radio, We're going to get bigger, and people are going to be listening from all over the country, and we're going to be able to tell people things about different things all across the country. We're not just going to concentrate on Benton Harbor. We're going to concentrate on this whole country. We want people to know and understand that we have a problem. We have a major problem. We got a system that's broke, and it takes the people to fix it. Government is for the people, by the people, you see. But we have not exercised that right. That's why we're in such a compromising position today. It ain't nobody's fault but our own. We allow them to do this. We allow them thinking that they're going to do the right thing. They will not do the right thing. And the people out there in radio land, you better start standing up for what's right. If you don't stand up for that, you're going to find problems all over. If you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. If I'm in trouble, you're in trouble, whether you like it or not. And that's the way it is. So we have to move forward. We can't look back at the past. We got to start looking forward to the future and start preparing ourselves for the future, because I know that we have a future. And I know this, you can't take that away from me, no matter how hard you try. And that's important.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I think that you're a big inspiration for everyone, Reverend Pinckney, the way you have taken on Whirlpool and you have really stuck it to them.
Absolutely.
Oh, you totally have. And I am just so proud that I get to actually co-host shows with you on Weekly Reality Check and things. And I love this new show, and I'll tune in every chance I get.
Hey, appreciate you. Appreciate you, because it's crucial that people should know. And people, you know, like I said, I don't mind telling people. I don't mind telling the truth. And I know I'm not going to let them intimidate me. I'm not going to let them scare me. I'm not going to let them do anything that's going to hurt this community or this country. You see, Whirlpool is one of the first ones to start outsourcing jobs around here. When that NAFTA treaty went into effect, it was led by Fred Upton, the heir of the Whirlpool. He led that. And they was already building a company down in Mexico.
How convenient.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, you know, we as citizens, we don't never know that stuff. We don't take the time out. We think everything is peaches and cream. See, and we hate to go up against anybody with money. We hate to go up against anybody with money, but I'm telling you, I love to go up against folks with money. I love it. Because the worst thing can happen, I'm expected to lose anyway. So if I win, that's a victory. So that's what people should be looking at. When you go up against people with money, they expect you to lose. There's no way that you could beat a company like Whirlpool. In that election that we won, it was sponsored by Whirlpool. They put up the money for this guy, and we spanked him. We gave him a whooping they never forget. Matter of fact, it was so bad that he had to go to jail. Somebody had to go to jail. That's how bad it was. And they said, well, this is an opportunity to get rid of Reverend Pinckney. You can't get rid of me. All you can do is slow me down. But the more you slow me down, the faster I get. Because I get excited. I get real excited. I'll tell you one thing. I only got 90 seconds left. But let me tell everybody, please, next week, 5 o'clock, we will continue this discussion. And I'm only here to try to encourage you. I want you to understand that there are things that we can do. We can do this thing together. I mean, we have to stop separating ourselves. Too many of us have separated each other, and that's why they whoop us. They beat us down. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I want to tell each and every one of you, especially you, Sister Charity, I love you. I love you. I love you, and there's nothing in this world you can do about it.
Well, I love you, too, and, you know, just God bless and keep you, and we'll just keep on fighting.
That's it. And I will have to say goodnight to everybody, and I'm hoping that next week you tell your friends about the program, and we get bigger and bigger and get faster. That's a blessing. Take care, everybody. God bless you.
God bless.